Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. This is the text. A few weeks ago, when we also had a snowy weekend and we had only a few hardy souls that were able to make it to church, for Bible class that morning, I just opened the floor to any questions. And I don't remember how we got on the topic, but we ended up speaking about the intentional deceit that the world imposes on your ears, the intentional lies that have been told to you, and you have believed those lies because they have been so often repeated, they have gone unchallenged in our recent history, they sound plausible, and many who are said to be wise have said that these stories are true. And we all know that the more often stories are told, the more people believe them. Well, one of the repeated lies that I mentioned a few weeks ago, it was concerning Christopher Columbus. And this came up again this week in my life because Juliana and I had a discussion about this. Because like her, like me, like you, I grew up hearing that most all people in the Christian world in the days of Christopher Columbus believed that the world was flat. And he set out to prove that the world was not flat. That's a story that had been told and retold, spoken as if it were truth, again and again, unchallenged in any conversations, and to this day, children are still told that people, up until about 500 years ago, thought that the world was flat, and we lived in this sort of snow globe-type existence, where we were down here, and there was just this dome above us. It is an untruth that is widely believed. And it really didn't show up until the 1800s. In 1828, American writer Washington Irving, author of Rip Van Winkle, Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he published a book entitled The Life and Voyages of Christopher Columbus. And of course, it was this mixture of fact and fiction, and it was intentionally unfriendly towards the Christian church. Washington Irving was not a fan of Christ and his church. And so his story had the underlying theme of the victory of this lone believer in the round earth, Christopher Columbus, over against a united front of Bible-quoting, superstitious, ignorant people connected to the church who were convinced that the earth was flat. Well, if you do any little bit of reading in history, the well-known and well-documented argument that actually took place, it was not concerning a flat earth versus a round earth. The argument was about the distance between Europe and Japan, or Europe and India. The debate had nothing to do with the shape of the earth. And by the way, the ignorant representatives of the church, they were correct in their assumption of how large the earth was. Christopher Columbus is the one that was wrong, and he would have run out of supplies if the Americas hadn't shown up where he expected to find Japan. Washington Irving's false story, intentionally false story, has been told and retold as if it were history. And our unbelieving world has wanted this to be the truth, and therefore has swallowed it whole. In 1834, around that same time, an anti-Christian writer named Latrone falsely claimed that most of the church fathers, including St. Augustine and St. Ambrose and Basil the Great, they all held to a flat earth. Even though pretty much every educated person in the Western world, since the days of Aristotle, 4th century BC Aristotle, they've all known that the earth was round. I mean, do a little bit of looking into history. Everyone's always known that the earth was round. It's only been since the 1800s that people have put out this notion of the flat earth, and that the people of God thought the earth was flat and we were these ignorant, just stupid people, and science didn't begin until the Enlightenment in the 16th century. That's all nonsense, but it is a nonsense that has been wanted to be believed by an unbelieving world. The great irony is that those who claim to be so wise in the ways of the world, they are the ones who are actually speaking foolishness. The even greater fools are the ones who will believe them. And Latrone's work has been repeatedly cited and quoted as a reputable authority for almost 200 years. Because he said that the people, the church, and the representatives of the church were ignorant. And our world says, yes, that's what we want to hear. We don't care if it's not true. We don't care if there's no evidence. This is what we want to hear, and we want to repeat it as often as we can. Even though the Bible even speaks of the earth being round. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Look it up. Seek out the truth. In the late 19th century, the writings of John William Draper and Andrew Dixon White were responsible, again, for promoting this myth that the church taught a flat earth, and only through the enlightenment of modern science have we come out of this state of ignorance. And both of these men had Christian backgrounds, but rejected Christ early in life. And Draper's work, The History of the Conflict Between Religion and Science, from 1874, it was a bestseller. Why? Because it told this untruth that the world wanted to believe, that the church and science were opposed to one another. White, who was the founder of Cornell University, which was the first explicitly secular university in the United States, he published this two-volume scholarly work called The History of the Warfare of Science with Theology in Christendom in 1896. Again, it was well received because it told the untruth that the world wanted to hear, portraying incorrectly this continued battle throughout the Christian era between the defenders of ignorance, the church, versus the enlightened defenders of reason, the scientists, who of course hate the church. Even though if you actually look at the history of science, the really good ones tended to be men of the church. You know, Sir Isaac Newton, Blaise Pascal, we have a lot of good scientists with us. It's only been very recently that field has been co-opted and stolen away by those who despise Christ. Now, we talked about some of these things in our Bible class a couple weeks ago. And then I also shared the story that day about Charles Lyell. And this is what got me, it got my ire up this week. Because after doing a little bit of digging to find some additional information on Charles Lyell, I found that part of the story that I had been told and through several different sources about him, I found that some of this was false. Well, Charles Lyell is the founder of really modern geology. And I won't go into him. I mean, he's the one that came up with the theory of the long, slow, uniform change over millions of years. But he put forth his theory without the support of evidence, and he willingly said this. He said he didn't need evidence. Because he had what he referred to as privileged reasoning. He said that because the people who believe the Bible are not scientific, then the scientists who do not hold to the Bible must be more scientific than they are, therefore we don't need evidence. Well, this week, wanting to dig up a little additional information on him, I did more research and I found out that the part of the story that I told a couple weeks ago in Bible class was false concerning him being a Scottish separatist, and he came up with this theory because he wanted to discredit God and therefore discredit the King of England who sat on the throne because of his divine right. When I dug a little deeper, I found that that part of the story was just as made up as his theory on geology. It had no evidence to support it. And this made me mad. I'm glad no one visited me in the office that morning. I was just fuming because I have repeated that story, that part of the story, numerous times. And it was a fabrication. Someone trying to discredit evolutionary science, and you don't need to make stuff up in order to do that. It's easy. Someone had made up that part of the story. And just like the lies that were told by the other fellows I've talked about today, oh, they sounded plausible, but it wasn't true. And even though Charles Lyell's geology is just totally made up, and it's something he poofed out of his own mind, he didn't have any evidence to support his layers that... The geologic layers that he designated, and by the way, something that children today are still forced to learn, even though the only place where you can find all of the layers on top of each other are in books. It doesn't exist in reality, and a lot of the older layers are on top of the newer layers. Go figure that one out, how that settled down over time. It doesn't make sense. But we are forced to believe this untruth because it is an untruth that the world wants to believe. We don't need, though, to tell false stories to promote God's work. There is no justification for making stuff up in order to promote Christ. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. As we look to Christ, we seek the truth. And as we look at God's interaction with his people, it is important to know about the liars that we are forced to listen to, like Washington Irving and Latrone and Draper and White and Charles Lyell. But knowing the truth about them, this is for your confidence. I'm not giving you information so you can go out and shove it in the face of your atheist friends and convince them about God. Because those who have rejected Christ, as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, those who have rejected the foolishness of the cross, those who are perishing, those who are dying in their sin, they will not change their mind because of clever arguments or the result of debates that we have with those who think they are wise in the ways of the world. They will not come to faith because you fill them with worldly wisdom or correct history. It is only the Holy Spirit working through the gospel, through the Word of God, that hearts will be changed. We preach Christ crucified. It is foolishness to those who think they are wise in the ways of the world. It is considered weakness by those who are outside of Christ's church. It is considered unscientific, and therefore they have privileged reasoning over and above us. But our confidence is in the truth of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, by which he makes us wise, by which he makes us powerful. Not so that we can go out and wield it and throw it in their face, but so that we have confidence in our own salvation, that we have been justified in his sight. I do fear for this generation. I've said that a lot lately. Especially I fear for those who are repeatedly subjected to the lies and persecutions regularly found on college campuses in particular, but for those who hear the lies of men like, you know, Draper and White and Charles Lyell and people like that far more times than they hear the truth of the Word of God. Pray for this generation. Speak the truth in love and patience and gentleness. Speak the Word of God. Proclaim Christ crucified. And remember Jesus' words. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.